Hi again, Eric. This is the second part, and I'm going to show you a difference in the way I'm going to be presenting my ideas using voice blogging. Yes, indeed, I'm going to need to think more on this in terms of some of the qualitative differences between voicing your thoughts and converting them to words on a screen. There's a lot of overlap between them. You know, making explicit what is hidden, however, is something that we do when we're writing, but you know what? I think that we do it in different ways. In the case of writing, it's more iterative. That is, we go back and revise, but it's at different times in the future. We look back into the past, we look back at a pause point, and we actually take a look at it. We edit, cull, delete, change. But you know what? What's interesting is that when we're writing down, as we're writing something down in terms of what we want to say, there are a lot of decisions being made at that moment in the process, whether to edit, cull, delete, change words, etc. And these decisions are made at every moment, and we lose this decision-making process. We lose the potential to capture this, these instances of struggles to comprehend, to give voice, to choose the right word, phrase, metaphor, the right mood, the tone, the register. We lose all of this in the midst of writing because we're focused so much on externalizing these ideas in text form. So when we're verbalizing our thoughts, on the other hand, we're capturing the struggle to articulate what we mean as what I'm doing. And listen to the difference. When I'm actually looking at a text, it is a fundamentally different, qualitatively different way of articulating what I'm talking about. And you're actually recording and hearing the difference in terms of the certainty and the flow. In any case, though, we're looking at recording the gaps, the errors, the flowing speech, the hesitations, or the lack of hesitations, the intonation, the tone. There's a lot more metacognitive detail, a lot more. I'm struggling to try and identify what it is that what is the specific detail that we're missing. But it's of great value to me as an individual learner and to those who are listening. I wouldn't say that voice blogging is just a podcast. It's a lot more than that. And that's the other thing, too. Its value to me is derived from the very fact that it serves a dual purpose. It is a pause point, incoherent, rough, but it can also be an anchor, a tether for further revisions. It's similar in that way to the written text, except that each time we add, we're in fact adding additional meta-content on top of it or underneath it. So I'm thinking of it in terms of voice blogging for tethered voice or audio commentary, things such as commenting on spoken posts, commenting on videos, on texts, such as what I'm doing now, on a comment that I've written already, photos, presentations, videos. So I consider that audio commentary, its value is largely as reflections of explicitly written, verbalized content. It's stuff that's already been written. pardon me. I'm thinking of audio commentary, the differences between just having written commentary for assignments and audio commentary. There's a big difference, and students really appreciate the feedback on assignments based on audio commentary. We'll take this one step further. What about instructors encouraging their learners as part of the mark, as part of the process, to engage in self-assessment on their own assignment or on an assignment of a peer, and they swap assignments, say? That could be really, really useful, especially having listened to a couple of modeled exemplars and examples from the tutors and from the instructor, him or herself. The other side of it is meanderings, digressions, and that former post, that voice blog post, is pretty much a meandering. It is a story. It's distracting. It's tangential. It's moving around. It's cyclical. It's not very focused. But there's value in that as well. I'm also going further on and talking about dreamscapes, flights of fancy, active imaginings, creative work. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to go anywhere or have an end or a beginning. It's just ideas that are brainstormed. and this is really important for brainstorming, it's not as easy to put those ideas and to capture those ideas. They're there and they're, poof, they're gone. When you're writing, you automatically embed certain rules and regs and structures, and you actually undo this spontaneity in some ways. And so by verbalizing, you actually give voice to things that you may not well be doing as a written form. And this is just an idea, and that's why I'm talking about giving voice to praxis. As a tool for autoethnography, you're doing something, hey, I'm doing something, and so on. There's a lot of stuff that people don't want to listen to, you know, but there's also dialectical discourse. There's perspective bracketing where I can engage in rehearsals. I can engage in a performance and practice what I would say to a group of people and anticipate it. And, you know, you do your rehearsal, you do your practices for your presentations and for these different presentations within a cohort or with peers at a conference. You also engage in cause advocacy. You engage in envisioning. You engage in self-monitoring. You're checking yourself. You're checking your self-assessment. You're reflecting on practice and how you're doing. You're reflecting as you're doing it. All of these things are more easily done using voice blogging than sitting down and saying, okay, where's my pen, or where's my netbook, or where's my material that I need to actually sit down and give this some written form. So the act of writing is fundamentally different on so many levels. And so if we make use of both, it would be really, really useful. I think that the technology that makes it possible for us to capture voice can prompt our learners to participate, and ourselves to participate, in learning processes that are different from blogging when we perform it using text images alone. So my question then is, how can one engage in texturing, say, for example, when creating, revising voice blog speech acts? How can we add meaning layered over previous iterations or previous versions? How can we engage in the piling of adding of tags and keywords and fonts and highlighting and color? These are specific to text-based blogging. We can focus, however, on using voice blogs for deepening understandings of how we actually go about communicating our ideas, how we express ourselves, how we struggle to give voice to new, as yet unformed ideas, or half-baked ideas, how we make conscious to ourselves and others what would otherwise remain hidden and unconscious. I refer to Jung and the transcendent function, making what is unconscious conscious. Identity formation, the idea of slow blogging and life blogging. Perhaps the potential of voice blogging lies in its capacity to unveil the automatic roles that we use, the perspectives that we take, and the ways in which we struggle to make meaning. Thank you very much, Eric, for talking with me, not actually in voice, but enabling me to talk further on this topic. Thanks again.